In times of fear and stress, most people go back to what is familiar and comfortable. Take me for example. I've learned a lot about skiing over the years, and my family tells me I ski better than I do. And when the conditions are perfect, I can get along just fine. Mammoth was good to me. 300 days of sunshine and more, kind of like yesterday. But when the terrain gets difficult, a Gandhi line gets icy and I've somehow been tricked into going down it, I revert or regress to what is known and familiar. And for me, that is, I lose my form, I lose my confidence. My family tells me I become rigid like a box. I lock my legs, I break the entire. And it's fairly miserable. It's amazing how fear can cause us to panic and to forget what we have learned. I mean, think about it. Think of yourself. Have you ever been in a place, could be physically, could be emotionally, could be relationally, could be spiritually, can you think of a place, a fearful place, where you forget all that you have learned about healthy living and healthy relationships, healthy choices, good boundaries, and you go back to your old patterns, things you thought you had worked your way through. Patterns that may not be helpful, but golly, they are familiar. No. If you get any whiff of that in your life, if you could call that back at all, that's what happened to these Israelites. They were in unfamiliar land. They were relying on an unseen God for every meal. The manna has already started dropping. They are in the desert relying on an unknown and unseen God for every drink of water. Water from the rock has already happened. And they were slaves, generation and generation and generation of slaves. They're not used to initiating or being in charge, or thinking outside the box. We can't even begin to understand as a group of people what it's like for the whole group, the whole, more than clan, the whole nation to have been acculturated into slavery. We really can't touch that. The closest I can get is some of us have known people who have been released from prison and how they have a terrible time with the new freedoms that are given to them. When they were in bondage, they were told when to brush their teeth, they were told when to exercise, they were told when to speak. And so much freedom is overwhelming. So imagine not just one person being freed from bondage in prison, an entire nation of people, thousands and thousands. I say, what do we do next? I don't know, what do you think we should do next? I don't know. Normally we would be stomping on mud. I don't know. What do we do next? Now that doesn't mean that they maybe grow their own food, they do all kinds of things, but that mentality. So the Israelites as a group really have not experienced freedom and making good judgments and making good choices. Moses has been gone for 40 days and 40 nights. Maybe he'll come back, maybe he won't, maybe the God destroyed him, maybe he ran away. And so they say, make us some gods who can lead us. This man Moses who brought us here from Egypt, he's disappeared. We don't know what's happened to him. And so Aaron, Moses' brother, the one left in charge, has this great idea, right? Bring me your gold. And he tools it into the shape of a calf, and he builds an altar in front of him. He says, tomorrow we're going to have a festival to the Lord. In other words, tomorrow we'll have a party, we'll forget about your troubles, be happy. It's a song. Disastrously bad idea. God and Moses are furious because they see this display as a lack of trust in the one true God, and they are punished. And Moses intercedes for the people and gets God to reconsider and to calm down. And the text does say God changed his mind. I understand that that's problematic. I won't lie to you. I'm not going to deal with that. Remember, though, that God calls Moses his friend and listens to him in a special way. This calf is a direct violation of commandment number... Good job, too. Hot off the press. Don't make any graven images, God says. The paraphrase sort of would be something like this. I'm bigger than anything you can imagine, so don't make anything that you think looks like me. You're going to get it wrong. They know this. They just heard it. So why did Aaron make them a god? Did they want to draw near to God, or did they want to go away from God? For me, this is an important question. Why did they make a god? Fear, for sure. But I do believe within them that they wanted to experience the divine power of God. They wanted to feel safe and secure and protected. They just wanted something they could see and touch and decorate with flowers and dance around and eat near and make them feel that God was with them, that they understood God. A God they could not see was just too scary. They had never had a God they could not see. Do you remember in the past what happened in Egypt? They were always making gods. How many gods did the Egyptians have? Infinite possibilities. Every time they encountered a new situation, they made a new god. Remember, they even had a god for frogs. In Egypt, they had gods that they could experience with their senses. Gods they could understand. Something they could see and touch. And they didn't understand that the one true God was inviting them to something that was so radically different that it would turn their religious experiences upside down. God said, now you only have one God. But I am too big to be understood in one image or even 200, so don't try. You can't make me that small. You know, they wanted a God they could understand. But do you ever yearn for a God that you can understand? Well, yeah, we all want to be able to understand God better than we do. Do you ever yearn for an encounter with the divine? Do you ever want to feel safe, secure, and protected? Do you want to know God and be known by God? I do.
I do.
Yeah. And I think God honors that desire. God honors our desire to experience Him and to know Him. And I'm going to say specifically to experience Him and to know Him with our senses. God gave us our senses to lead us to God. Not so that we could trust in idols, not so we could trust in things we make, but to experience Him with all of who we are. After all, He sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to live and breathe and walk among humankind, right? To be touched by people. He sends His Holy Spirit to abide with believers, to comfort and guide and convict and teach. God speaks through all kinds of things to get our attention, through dreams and visions and the weather and angels and other people. We could go through the Bible and see how many ways that God tries to communicate with His people. All kinds of ways. And God knows it's hard to believe in an unseen God. Remember Thomas? Right? If only I could touch Him with my hands. And Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And yet He appears to Thomas. And in that same time, Jesus then breathes on them. Remember? He breathes on them and they feel it on their face. And He said, receive the Holy Spirit. Why? So that we could intimately live in God and experience Him. The Hebrews got into trouble because they were willing to stop at the golden calf. Built something, they thought they understood it, they put their trust in it. It was something they made themselves. God didn't give it to them. They made it themselves. And having made it, they were content to put their trust in it. And we would say they were content with a lesser God. Are you content with the lesser gods that you make for yourself? I mean, we all make them. Our jobs, our friends, our retirement plans, our exercise format, whatever. Those are things that help us along in life. And it's tempting sometimes to make them, give them that kind of godlike weight that they will somehow save us. Perhaps you're actually yearning for an encounter with the one true God. You see, you have to remember, while everybody else was down at the bottom of the mountain wondering what was going on, Moses was up in the mountain having an intimate experience with God. It goes on and on and on. They talk, they converse, they haggle. The rest of them were told to keep away. But the prophet Joel said, in the last days I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams, right? It's now for everybody. Through his Holy Spirit, God makes a way for all of us to experience God. Now, I believe that God is always reaching out to us. And that's not new for most of you who know me. I really believe that God is always, always extending his hand toward us. Always, always reaching out to us. And for me, the best analogy, although I'm sure there's many others, it's kind of like radio waves. There's always radio waves. In this room, there are radio waves. If we could tune in, we could get TOS. If you're really good, you might be able to get Maine Public Radio. If you could tune in another way, what else might we get? What's up here? Oh, I don't know. Not much, huh? 98.5. I mean, we are at the edge, I admit. Like radio waves, God is always transmitted, but we're not always in tune to be able to hear him or to notice him. And I do think that's a really, probably pretty accurate analogy. So I have a little exercise for us to give to you to help you to tune in to God this week, to heighten your awareness of God's movement in the world, and at the very least, to cause you to slow down and to thank God. Now, like learning anything new, any new skill, any new language, you're not going to be 100% here. We're not going for 100%. And not everything that will happen in this exercise will be a direct or special message from God. But I do believe that God honors our soul's sincere desire to know him, and that through this exercise, you'll have a chance to become more aware of the gifts that come from the hand of God. And so I need somebody to help me pass these out. And it's good. We move quickly today. We have a little bit of time here. Everybody's going to need something to write with. You might already have something. Everybody's going to need one of those. And I'm going to talk about this. This is a little sheet I just made. Where did I put mine? I borrowed this title from a friend of mine. It's called A God Hunt. And on this piece of paper is a little box for one for each day of the week. So this is a one-week experiment for you. Some people have liked, I've been giving some folks some kind of experiments or experiences in God recently. So here's one I made up. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Surely you can do something for 7 days. If you really like it, you can flip it over and do it again. But I'm not interested. In the next week, I invite you to hone in on God's presence by awakening your senses to God. Each box is one day. Each day has 5 senses. See, hear, touch, smell, taste. You probably won't be able to fill it in. Everyone for every day. But what I invite you to do is to heighten your awareness, to tune in, and to pay attention. And at the end of the day, take a moment to reflect and see how many of these lines you can fill in. As for me, I can't wait till the end of the day. My memory's not that good. So I do it throughout the day as I notice God. If I wait till the end, I'm kind of tired, sloppy, and attentive, and I just kind of make stuff up. And because I'm a competitive overachiever, I do want to fill in all the blanks, and so I sometimes go a little crazy. Personally, I'm going to take this invitation and do this until Easter, which is 3 weeks away. There are more handouts on the back table. There's some extras if you want to do that through Easter. But if not, I really challenge you to see if you can do it for 7 days. And since this sermon took form earlier this week, I began experimenting myself, and so I'm going to share with you some of my noticing moments. And Keeping in mind that I believe that God transmits to us all the time, and that all good gifts come from his hand, and that we are surrounded by God moving and working. So you'll see some of these are kind of spiritual, and some of them are really not. I began this sermon, took form as I was driving to Jay on Thursday morning, and if anybody was up on Thursday morning, the snow coated the trees in a way that was just something out of Narnia. Wasn't it good? And so I wrote down, I see God in the snow coating the trees in the early morning sun. Is that a gift of God? Yeah. Yeah, it is. Now, does that mean there's a special message for me, therefore go and make snow? No. But it is a way that God conveys his love and his care. It's about noticing. What's strange is I was driving, I don't know if it was down or back, even that day, a song came into my head that I haven't thought of since forever. I mean, we've not sung it here. It's a song from my old college youth group days. And I hum it, I can guarantee who went to college in 19, fill in the blank. The only one I think would know this would be Earl. Anybody know this song? Very 70s. Trust in me and I'll set you free from the worries that bind the rest of mankind. Trust in me and I'll set you free from the worries that bind the rest of mankind. See? Must have been from God because nobody else knows that song. But the words, trust in me and I'll set you free from the worries that bind the rest of mankind. For me, it was like, wow. Like, this song came out of nowhere. And it was a wonderful song. And it pointed me to God. So I wrote that down. I hear God in that old song from college. I did it again and again. Smell is hard. Smell is really hard. Unless you're around someone who cooks things that make you feel warm and safe. Although I did smell God. I did notice. I did stop because I'm paying attention now. Because it was yesterday, the clear, crisp air, and I was out bringing in the wood. I'm having faith it will get cold again, and I'm bringing in the wood. I just stopped and just kind of smelled. I said, wow, it's beautiful out here. And most of us always taste God in chocolate, but you might want to stretch a little bit. So you see how it works? You get it. And then at the end of the week, because I had an extra little square there, I made up some questions. Did I see an answer to prayer this week? And I will guarantee you that if you do this exercise for a week, you will see more answers to prayer because you will be aware of your connection to God. Did I notice evidence of his care? If you do this for a week, I guarantee you will become more aware of his care in your life. Was there any providential timing this week? You know what I mean by that? Things that just seem to go beyond coincidence into serendipity. And did I join God in bringing more love, more light, and more hope into this world? Part of the purpose of us becoming attuned and tuning in to God working is so that we will be God's hands and feet in the world. This is not just so you can become a fat and happy Christian. It's so that you can be his people in the world. So there's a purpose to that. So I'll just throw this down here. So I notice I start with Sunday. That's today. So you might even get a couple of these, those of you who like worksheets, in before the end of, or the end of our time together. Brainstorm quick. Does anybody see God? Has anybody seen God today in anything? Want to take a risk? Yes,
sir. In the beautiful sunlight.
Yeah. Doesn't have to be more bigger than that. Heather.
I was having coffee this morning in this beautiful field where I'm just bringing the garbage out with about 2 dozen snow peas and then like 5 or 6 deer came out. And then I was just like, Jason, we're going to have to get the picture.
strong conviction for you. God created all this nature. Let's notice him in it and thank him for it. Part of the reason why we live here, we could live in the concrete jungle. We didn't mind that. Anybody hear God in anything today? Yet? Or feel God? That may be feel in the heart way or feel in the touch way. I couldn't figure out a nicer way to say I smell God in. And smell seems such like a base kind of thing, but some of our earliest memories are actually smell-oriented. Or I taste God. So often we only ever get to taste God at communion, but there are other times that trigger for us a sense of God. The golden calf became an end in itself because it caused the people to stop trusting God. But taking time to hone our skills to notice God will lead us closer to God. Focus not on the gifts, but on the giver. And may this exercise this week take you from noticing the gifts to the giver. Okay, so don't ever let it stop there. And I think one of the things that happens in our lives, I mean, there's going to be a lot of people on the hill today who are going to enjoy that sunshine. But now everybody's going to say, well, God, thank you for that sunshine. And you can see then how this exercise leads you easily to prayer. Easily to prayer. So try this with me this week, and if you get anything, love to hear what anybody's thoughts are, what anybody's experiences are in doing this. For some of you, this is going to be as natural as pie. For some of you, you're going to hate it. And actually, for those of you who hate it, you actually might get more out of it than the rest of us people. Would you join me in prayer? God, we recognize this day that we are in the presence of our Creator, in the presence of our Beloved, in the presence of Holy. God, we know that, and we trust that you hear our prayer. God, as you move in us, within us, and around us, may we have the eyes to see your work. May we have the ears to hear you calling. May we sense your movement. May we notice you by the senses you have given us, which are grounded in this earth and yet transcend this place, because you made us this way, to live on earth and yet to commune with the divine. We're humbled by your care for us. And we're in awe of you. How can it be that one God is so big and majestic to hold everything in the palm of his hand? And yet you are. We don't understand always. Hardly ever. But Lord, we trust you day by day. We trust you with Bill and Louise and with all that's happening in their lives. And I do pray for Bill and Louise that you would awaken their senses to your presence, and that you'd give them the peace that passes all understanding on yet another leg of this journey. And may we be your people in the midst of their challenge. And God, how can it be, how amazing is it, the work that you're doing in baby Ari? And may all that is happening to him and the way you're working on his life draw all people in that situation closer to you. Cause them to trust in you and to give you thanks. And God, the way you sustain Karen Brower and other people in our lives who are struggling with chronic illness, dangerous illnesses, terminal illnesses, folks in our lives who we care so much about, and even we ourselves. Yet your faith is constant. We give you thanks. And God, we're hunting for no less than the signs of your kingdom that's among us every day. So Lord, may we see your kingdom and walk in it and share it. Lord, bind us as one as we pray to the one true God. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I chose as our closing hymn, before we get to taste